June 8th, Churchill Downs, grade 3, $100,000 early time mint julep stakes was won by Ms. Ida, loyal filial proud citizen. Written on by Burt, Richard, and Elaine Klein, Ms. Ida won the mint julep at the direct expense of the grade 1 stakes winner Daisy Devine, and to post her 7th win, 5th stakes win from 12 career starts. She won the grade 3 Valley View at Keenan last fall, and she was one of 12 stakes winners of 2012 by proud citizen. Ms. Ida is certainly not the first daughter of a proud citizen to win graded stakes at Churchill Downs. Millionaire Believe You Can and multimillionaire Proud Spell are both a proud citizen, and both won the classic grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. Then on Sunday, June 9th in Canada, I think so, a 3-year-old filly, a proud citizen, bred by Tom Gamble and the Proud Citizen Syndicate, won the Emerald Downs Handicap. A winner earlier at the fairgrounds, I think so, has won 2 straight stakes. Proud Citizen, a grade 2 stakes winner, 2nd in the Kentucky Derby, 3rd in the Preakness, and the Son of Gone West, stands at Mr. Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airby Stud. Watch for the Proud Citizen yearling. It's a major sale. See the website at airbystud.com, and remember, the Airby Stallions are your key to raising profit. Well, good morning. And we are here at the third. Would you shut that window? The one that's blowing these papers out of which one did Rexy? One of the windows behind me, and oh, there go all my papers. No, not really. Everybody jumped up to look. We're here at the Thoroughbred Center as usual, right here in the clock stand. Busy morning. I think we've had about 75 works this morning, something like that. And Susie's still out there clocking. She's got some help out there. What we're going to do today, Jim Williams is going to stop by. I've known Jim for a long time. He was a long time director of communications at Keeneland. Started out as a sports writer. I believe at that time as the Lexington Herald leader. I don't know if they still had the two papers at that time, but there was the Lexington Herald, which was the morning paper, and the Lexington Leader was the afternoon paper. The morning paper was the Democrat paper, the evening paper was Republican paper. They put out one paper on Sunday, and of course that was supposed to be the Independent. Wasn't though. But anyway, Jim's a friend of mine, been around, you know, he retired about the same time that I stopped doing the post-time race result show in the evening that I did for 50 years. But anyway, he's going to stop by about 11 o'clock. Michael Blowen is back from New York. We'll see what he's got to report. He's up there hobnobbing with the wealthy people, shaking them down for money for old friends, I'm sure. And he's got that new magazine, the Old Friends magazine, that the Daily Racing Form has put out. I hope he brings me a copy. And I hope he brings Dr. Doug Byers with him. Doug, of course, is the world-renowned veterinarian who does our vet segments every week. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. And I'm going to get Steve to give us the winner of the Stephen Foster, which is the grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs tonight. Can I get used to having night races at Churchill Downs? But, you know, it's all right with me. As long as I don't have to stay up, I can sit in front of the TV and watch it, you know, which I will do tonight. I might do a little history. They run any Hill Print Stakes in New York. Might talk a little bit about Hill Prints and Jackie's announcements. Without Jackie, Jackie is staying home today. We have a bunch of people coming in, family. We're going to celebrate about 5 birthdays: and my birthday, Jackie's birthday, son Patrick's birthday. Let's see, my daughter Carrie's birthday, and my Aunt Sally's birthday, so we're going to go home and sit around in the shade and have a cookout and have some fun. We do this about every year, just celebrate all our birthdays at one time, a bunch of May and June folds, late folds. I want to say thanks to the Thoroughbred Center for the little to-do they put on for me last night. They had a little retirement celebration. They were celebrating me leaving. Anyway, it was fun, and I appreciate it. Jim Pendergast My good friend Jim Pendergast put that together, and a lot of good friends showed up, and I really appreciate that. So. That's right. You know what I think I'll do? Well, let me give you the winners out here since last week's show. We've had 20 winners this month in the first 12 days of racing. One a day since last week, seven of them. Tommy Short won one at Indiana Downs. Marco Castaneda won one at Mountaineer. Eduardo Calamori won one at Mountaineer. Another Indiana Downs winner, Tommy Short, another one. Good for Tommy. Marco Castaneda had another one. He's been on a roll here lately. This one in Mountaineer. Matt Frazier won with a quarter horse down at Indiana Downs. Jolton Jess. And John Paul Puchek went up to in Ohio and won one up there with Infallible. Infallible. Named after, certainly not after me. That is for sure. Let me do these announcements. Jackie's announcement. I told her, Jackie, I'm going to abbreviate them. And we'll just do the essentials. The ones that are coming up here pretty soon. The UK Equine Farm and Facilities Expo is going to be held on June the 19th. What day is that? Where's that calendar? That will be next Wednesday. It's going to be at a Tollgate Farm, in Scott County. That's Troy Rankin's place over in Scott County. Troy's he does it all. Trains, he raises thoroughbreds, he's a farmer's farmer, got a lot of property around here, and so they're going to do everything you can imagine over there, including in exercise areas and temporary fencing, water systems, and grazing benefits, hay production, integrating cattle into equine operations, you know, name it. And admission to the expo is free. Meal will be provided, and they will appreciate it if you make a reservation. Call the Fayette County Extension Office here in Lexington, and the number is 257-5582. 257-5582. Troy's the guy knows what he's talking about. Hats off day at the horse park. Remember that. Please remember that. Farm hats, stallion hats, equine industry and business hats. Any hats appreciated, including outdated hats. I've got a bunch of them. I think I've got one from a Kentucky Derby about 12 years ago that I never wear. I'll just take it over. Stands are no longer standing here. That didn't make any difference. Even factory damage hats. Just factory, I guess. My dog chewed up one hat somewhere. I had a nice hat. My Giants Causeway hat. He had to pick up one of my better ones, one of my favorite hats. Last year they ran out within 30 minutes over there. You can drop them off over at Ruth and Little or at Haggard's, Woodford Equine Clinic down in Woodford County, or at the next Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club meeting, but I think that may be after that. Yeah, we won't have a meeting between them. And once again, hats off day is Saturday, July the 27th. Yeah, they'll have that at 4 o'clock. At the Kentucky Horse Park Rolex Stadium. Free admission. And so you should do that. Let's see what we've got here. Complimentary clinic. I don't know about this guy. Jackie's got all kinds of scribbling on here. I'll skip that one since I can't. I never can figure out her, right? Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club's 21st Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble is going to be on Monday, July 1st at the University Club. Proceeds go to Kimmy and to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It's a scramble. It's a Challenge Cup Golf Scramble, and you're invited to participate. You need to call them and sign up, I guess. Contact Brent Wilson, 859-753-5715. Let's see. We're going to have a soccer tournament over at Dixiana. Go over and kick it around a little bit. That's going to be on June the 23rd. That's next Sunday. Games begin at 3. Monday through Wednesday, June 24, 25, and 26. Games begin at 6. Friends and family night on the 29th. Games begin at 4 o'clock. Barbecue dinner at 6:30. And so it's out in Dixiana. And you're welcome to go over there and participate in that. Let's see, the Country Air, the second Hunter Show, Hunter Jumper Show, is today and tomorrow out at the Horse Center. What do you call it over there? Ironworks Pike. What do you call it, Dan?
Horse Center.
Right. All right. Thank you. The Fairmont Center, of course, is open for tours. You need to give them a call. You know, they do more than tours out here, more than train horses out here, as far as that goes. Their weddings, back when they showed up last night for my little celebration out here, they were having a wedding out in the front yard. I almost went to that. And, but I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate it. But, you need to call up there. They've got conference rooms and, really lovely places too for, got enough lounge and things in there. You can have your parties there if you want to. So you need to call them over here at the Thoroughbred Center, 293-1853. And let's see, Friends of the Hounds Trail Ride to support that 18 mission trip is on the 10th, and that was a long time ago. I think I about run out of the active things in the. Oh, I got to take care of my good friends over at Sally Vans, crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, Gooseneck and Equine Trailer Repairs, they do at Sally's. Okay. I didn't know that, but we took our trailer over there, and it set out for about 2 years, and we hadn't used it, and they made it look like new. I mean, it's great. Ben Eversole's the man, get in touch with over there. He's a fleet and facility manager, and just call Sally Vans over there. Well, his number is air code 513-675-8874. Sally Horsecamp. Something's loose. Just had a loose horse go by, I think. Susie, get out there and get that horse. Started out with four. Ended up, it must be Tommy Shorts. Alright, let me do a set of commercials here. Last Saturday at Hollywood Park, the grade $250,000 honeymoon handicap was run by Sirocco, the 3-0 finish by Arch. It was bred and owned by Wertheimer Freer and trained by Richie Mandel. Sirocco bred all the way, going a mile and an eighth, won by a length, with the graded stakes winner, Scarlet Strike, achieved by Smart Strike. Sirocco is just the latest in the long list of superior stakes winners side by Arch. So this, of course, that includes four champions, including the breed Flame. His first full yearlings this year. He has sired, Archer sired 9 grade 1 winners, and they've won grade 1 stakes all over the world. Churchill Downs, Sarasota, Hollywood Park, Woodbine, Delmar, Belmont, Gulfstream, Oakland, Royal Ascot, Newmarket. And that's why last year Archer's sales winning sold for an average of over 124,000. His yearlings averaged over 144,000, and his 2-year-olds averaged over 202,000. Now, Arch is a great source of stamina. His daughter's beginning to be a real top-class producer, too. Uncle Mo, I'll have another, contested it all out of marriage by Arch. Arch stands at Cleveland Farm. For more information about the Cleveland stands, get in touch with Bernie Sands. See the website at clevelandfarm.com. Couldn't find my Clay Ward down there. I'm still going to have to ad-lib a Clay Ward commercial. Please. That's all right. I hadn't talked about the Clay Ward commercial for years. That was a Clay Ward agency down in Parrish, Kentucky. It's Shack Parrish, basically. And, founded by James Clay Ward back in 1931. That's a heck of a time to start a business. That's right. You know, right when the Depression starts. But, they were very successful because they knew what they were doing. They gave great service, and they were some professionals, and they had support from the industry. Still do. And I think, geez, they've been through some of the world's finest horses down at that agency. And it's closely affiliated, of course, with their farm down there, Indian Creek. And that's a great place, too. They've sold, I think, it's something like 5 or 6 champions all over the world. They sell basically here in Kentucky, although they have entered abroad to sell. And it's a great place to board a horse, great place to sell, for them to take care of you. And it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful farm. If you've never been down there in Bergen County, just take a look at it. You need to give them a call down there. That's Indian Creek Farm. And that is the Clay Ward Agency. And right down there in Parrish, Kentucky. Give my buddy Shaq Parrish a call at the Clay Ward Agency down there. And you'd be glad you did. They're awful nice people to do business with. Well, Sprite's Downside, two stakes winners last Saturday. This Fast Bullet printed six furlongs, 181 to win the Grade 2 $400,000 True North Handicap. The Lighthouse Bay won the Jostle Stakes at Parks. Then on Thursday, Money Sister, also for Sprite's Downs, won Belmont's Smart and Fancy Stakes. Saturday, Woodbine, Sisterly Love, filly by Bellamy Road, won $125,000 Trillium Stakes. Then on Sunday, Boisterous by Distorted Humor won the Grade 2 Monmouth Handicap and Purely Hot for Pure Price won the $100,000 Satin and Lace Stakes at Presque Isle. Sprite's Down, Bellamy Road, and of course, Distorted Humor and Pure Price all stand at Windstar Farm. And incidentally, Colonel John had a first time starting 2-year old winner maiden special yesterday at Churchill Downs. That's, of course, that's the top Colonel John is by choosing out. So if you have a late folded mare, get in touch with Jerry Duffy and Anna Packard at Chance 10. Ask about the stallion standing over at Windstar Farm. Telephone number, 859-873-1717. They'll do everything they can to help you out. Sprite's Down, incidentally, is climbed to number 2 on the sale list by North America earnings through June 9th. Beside 82 winners, ranks number 1 for number of winners in that category this year. So, once again, the number at Windstar is 873-1717. And take a look at the website, windstarfarm.com. All right. I did mention that Prince John, the Colonel John thing. Here's Johnny's his name. And he won by 2.5 yesterday at Adam Churchill. Going 5 furlongs on the grass. How about that? Pretty good time, 57, too. And I think that horse has had 2 winners in his first car. In fact, I know it yet. The other one went up to Woodbine. And another maiden special one. Colonel John. Over at Windstar Farm. All right, waiting on Doc and my good friend Michael Blowen, who I saw last night. And what can I do in the meantime? Well, I can take care of the KTA. And good friend over there, David Spicer, and we talked about Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from the last weekend. And, of course, the winner of the Belmont Stakes, Alice Malice, was bred in Kentucky by Will Farish, raised over there. And Saltwood Stakes.
Come on, let's do the work.
Got Camel. Good stakes, you know, what a nice guy. That's his second classic winner, by the way. Had a previous winner a few years back. Alice Malice beat Octoys by Olsen again.
My favorite horse
is easy, Kentucky Bred, Coke Mix Stakes. Kentucky Bred ran third. That was Orr, Malibu Moon, led by Stuart Janney, and the fifth stable. So 1, 2, 3 for Kentucky Breds in the Belmont Stakes. Let's see. Let's go on. Well, let me give you one from last night. We had 2 yesterday. I found they ran 2 stakes at Belmont yesterday. And both of those were won by Kentucky Breds. The Smart and Fancy stakes went to Money Sister by Sprite's Town. Stays over at Windstar, and Charles Shifty bred that one, and the Leica Stakes, My Happy Face, to a 3-year-old filly in the first crop by Tears Wonderful, bred by Spindrift Farm and Shaw Haven Place, and won that one. So both those stakes yesterday at Belmont Park were won by Kentucky Breds. Just a Game Stakes, Grade 1 at Belmont Park. Stephanie's Kitten won that. Bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Better Lucky was second. That's a Ghost Zapper. Bred by Darley. And finishing third was Hungry Island by More Than Ready. And of course, More Than Ready stands at Windstar Farm. Ghost Zapper is the spring. Put this away over here. Moving right along, the Manhattan Handicap, Grade 1, Woodford Reserve Manhattan Handicap, I should say, went to point of entry. What a game old horse he is, bred home by the fifth stable, course, one night in 17 starts and over 2.3 million now. Now, running second was Optimizer, and running third, Real Solution. Both the Kentucky Breeds. Okay, Matt. And Sarah Ramsey. The Fast Bullet won the Grade 2 True North at Belmont. He was bred by Roy Gottlieb, and he is by Sprightstown. And running second was Justin Phillip. He is by First Samurai. He stands over at Cleveland Farm, Oakbrook Farm Breeding. And Laura's Rocket by Bluegrass Cat ran third in Gulf Coast Farm for them, another Kentucky bred. Woody Stevens Stakes, Grade 2 of Belmont Park. 40 Tails by Taylor the Cat. Stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, bred by the Randall Family Trust, running second. Declan's Warrior by Majestic Warrior, who also stands over at Ashford Stud, bred by Lucky Shamrock. And Clearly Now by Horse Greeley, ran third, bred by Clayton Farm. And, of course, Horse Greeley, who's got two graded stakes winners in his first crop. This is one of them. Stands also at Favorite Farm. Charles Whittingham Memorial Handicap, another tail of the cat. It's a grade two race, another grade two, this one on the grass. And they were bred by Judy Hicks and Catherine Nickel. Running second, tail of the cat, what's it actually, all squared away by Bellamy Road. It was over at Windstar. And running third was a cow bred, and we don't mention. Boisterous won the grade two models. Stakes, Boisterous goes by Distorted Human, bred by Cynthia Phipps. And running second was another one of Big Blue Kitten, another Kentucky bred. And another one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey, but that good horse there to get his joy. Siroc won the Honeymoon Handicap, grade two at Hollywood Park. Siroc by Arch, bred by Wertheimer and Freer, raised right up the street here at Hagen Farm. Scarlet Strike was second, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, another Kentucky bred. And the third one was by Majestic Warrior, but he was a New York bred. And Majestic Warrior, of course, that's a cool one. I will mention Ashford Stud. Now, let's see, I gave you that one, I gave you that one. I got thrown off, you know, they didn't have a June 8th edition of the Blood Horse. They took a week off. Good morning.
Morning, Herschel. How you doing?
All right. What's going on?
I'm Charlie Pig. I'm Michael's friend.
Sit down, Charlie.
He told me to come over here.
Yeah, have a seat.
He's on his way. Right here?
Yeah, that's fine. Ms. Ida won early times. Mid Julep Handicap down in Churchill Downs, grade three. That's a proud citizen. It stands over there. Every stud. Bert Richard and Elaine Klein bred that one. Daisy Devine, another Kentucky bred. Riley McDonald. And Colonel Flagg, bred by Catherine Park, 1-2-3 for Kentucky Bred. Moving right along, the Trillium Stakes at Woodbine, and Sisterly Love by Bellamy Road, who's at Windstar, bred by Kinsman Farm. Running the Alley Wow Stakes at the Woodbine, 127,000 pot. Over Heard won that by Macho Uno. He was, bred by Pin Oak Stud. I think Pin Oak owns him too. And, yeah, they own him too. And, of course, Macho Uno is at the spring. The Fort Mama Stakes. This is a good one. Scrum Diddly Youngsters won that. bred by Liberation Farm and Arrivus Thoroughbreds. Kentucky bred. The John W. Rooney Memorial. Bronze Jewel won that. That's at Delaware. Peter Van Andel, the breeder. The Maranaski Stakes at Belmont Park went to Royal Lahaina. Bred by Anthony Gita. And one more, I think, the Swoon Son. That should be in Chicago. Yeah, well, it's Arlington Park, but that's where he was at his best. Keep up on that. With Dr. John Chandler, Jan LTT, Sugar McGahee, and Mill Ridge Farm. And of course, Swoon Son, he gave Drake's great old horse from back in the 50s in Boyle Water. Won almost $1 million back then. Full brother to Dalgoon. Two top horses that raced for Mr. E. Gay Drake. And boy, they were four brothers. The old one was Dalgoon. He won $300,000 or $400,000. And they just kept that year after year after year. I think for about five straight years, they knocked down about $100,000 or between $100,000 and $150,000 a year for that thing. Not that he needed it, but. All right, the Washington State Legislators Handicap at Emerald Downs. exclusive diva one that bred by Northwest Farms. Let me take a little break here and do some commercials. That was supposed to be a commercial. I do rattle on. Well, First Defense, the grade one stakes winner himself, well on his way to success and stud, with a graded stakes winner and a group stakes winner in his first crop. He's the son of Close Hatches, winner of her first three starts, including the grade two Gazelle Stakes in New York, and second in the classic grade one Acorn, and of Dun Donnell, winner two last year of the group three Acorn, and this year the Charles II Stakes, with placings in the group two Champagne and the group three Craven Stakes, all in Great Britain. And he ran fourth in the grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Stakes in his only start in this country. Field of 14, he was a good solid fourth. Two others have placed in stakes, New Line and Belmont, smoking in the boys' room at Turfway. I hate that name. He's a pretty good horse anyway. First Defense stands at 7,500 live foal at Dudmont Farm, and he's receiving very strong support with many outstanding mares in his book. Mares such as Grade 1 Stakes winner Yasmack, Grade 1 Stakes winner Price Tag, Grade 1 winner Flute, Grade 1 winner An Ounce, and the Dam of Close Hatches, to mention just a few. First Defense, the unbridled song out of the Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, assisted by Seattle Salute to Empire America and Chester House. Also at Judmont is Miz and Mash, are the winners of two Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races last fall and of a Group 1 Classic winner in France this year. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke and Aaron Fry, and see the website at Judmont Farm. That classic winner in France, I think, goes this weekend in the French Oaks over there. That would be Fotila. So, good luck to her. Charlie?
Pig.
Pig? P-I-G-G.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Charlie.
Good to see her. I met you the first time over at Old Friends on your birthday party. Remember? A couple of years ago, when you had, was it your 80th birthday party?
80th birthday.
Yes, sir. And that was a nice shindig.
You still have your ears on.
Oh.
You still have your things on your ears.
Oh. Hang in that case over there.
This one?
I wonder why I think you're sounding funny.
I'm sorry I missed your shindig last night.
All right, what's up next here? Oh, I got a Ad Lib Hopewell too?
I guess so.
There it is. Where is,
Michael and Doug should be here by now.
Yeah, they usually get here about 10 after.
Yeah. When he told me to come up here, he said he'd be here in 5 minutes, but that's been probably at least 10
minutes. You know how he is.
Yeah.
He could be late for his own funeral.
Here they come.
Is he in the White Riviera? Is he driving the White Riviera?
No. Okay. Doug's car.
Oh, okay.
Driving Doug?
Yeah, they're here.
I'm worried about Doug.
That's why you mean? He had a tough time.
All right. Well, I've got a visitor here, Charlie Pig, who's, I think, I'm told that you own a piece of the Belmont Stakes winner.
Yes, sir.
Did you bring a trophy?
No, sir. I didn't. I don't have that, but I do have the carnation blanket. Over my hotel room right now, drying out.
Is that?
Yes, sir.
What are you going
to
do with
it? Well, I'm not exactly sure. We're going to try to get it preserved as best we can.
Okay.
And then maybe put it in a shadow box. I'm not absolutely sure what to do with
it. So, hell, that had to be an exciting day for you.
It sure was. Yeah. Most exciting day I've ever had in racing, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I imagine. I mean, not very often if you run across a Belmont stick, but once a year.
Yeah. That's right.
How'd you get a piece of it, Charlie?
Well, I've been with the Dogwood Stable for 17 years now. And that all started from wearing a summer squall cap to the Preakness, not the Preakness, to Keeneland. It was out of the Preakness win, the cap was. And I wore that cap to Keeneland the first day that summer squall had a baby running.
Uh-huh.
and I showed up at that cap on that day and happened to run into Cot Campbell.
Had you met him before?
I never had met him before. I knew about Cot and was a big fan of Summer Squalls, primarily because a friend of mine's father had a piece of Summer Squall. But I wore that cap to Keeneland that day. Cot's eye. We struck up a conversation. And before you know it, I had a piece of a couple of dogwood horses, and I've been with him for 17 years now. Continues.
Cot's a good salesman, isn't
he? Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Fine gentleman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm very fond of Cot. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah, he's become one of my very best friends.
Well, he's a lot of people's best friend.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of guy, that outgoing and fun. He's fun to be around.
Right. And it was another horse of his, another dogwood horse, Melinda, who led me to come to Old Friends the first time, and now Michael and I are extremely good friends.
Oh, where are you from, Charlie?
I live in Central Illinois.
Okay, and what do you do?
I'm a retired tax guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Not for the IRS, but I work for Cat Authority Incorporated in Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Well, for Cat Authority. Are you still with them?
No, I retired several years ago. I retired kind of early so I can have time to go to the racetrack and the horse farms and meet guys like Michael Bowen and Ursula Ellis and Cot Campbell and things like that.
Oh, and Michael showed me, he showed me the picture of the horse and I was like,
not the horse, it's the Belmont.
I just, shut up.
I haven't seen that yet. That's
there you go. Yeah. You're in it. Yeah. I saw your picture.
Really?
Yeah, your picture's in it.
Good.
They're trying to increase circulation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Morning,
Doug. Did you talk about your party last night?
I thanked him for having
that's why I'm party. Late. I was hungover.
Oh, get out of here.
You know, free beer. Had free beer. Yeah. Free drink. Good food.
Yeah.
Tom Leach and Ursula telling great stories. I mean, it really, really is a wonderful event. I know everybody that was there had a really great time.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was a great tribute to a mediocre human being. Can I tell you?
You know what? I'll escort him out of here real quick.
You know what? Somebody introduced me once. He says, you know, says Ursula's done it all. She has been an owner, breeder, trainer, a hot walker, you know, announcer and everything. I says, yeah, and did none of it very well.
No. Everybody else, I'm joking. Except Jackie.
Well, Jackie, yeah. Well, that was my number one good move, wasn't it, marrying Jackie?
It was great. Your family was there.
Yeah.
Patrick came all the way from Belgium.
Yeah, he was jet lag. He got off the plane and started driving out to Nicholasville Road instead of coming here. He said, where the hell am I going, you know?
Did anybody record that for the website?
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Not on top of this stuff. I mean, people are going to want to hear this. Well, anyway, I know that Mary Jean Wall recorded, so maybe we can steal her tape recording out of it.
Mary Jean do that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it'd be real interesting. I think people would be interested.
For what?
Huh? Because you told some great stories about growing up in Dixieana.
Well, you know, when you get to be my age, you've outlived everybody, you can just lie.
Well, whatever it was interesting. But it's great. Isn't Charlie great?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time in New York, didn't we, Charlie?
Yes, sir. We sure did.
I didn't go to the Belmont, but...
Charlie, you didn't have fun with him.
I did.
Well, we had fun in the bar. Exactly. What was it, Wednesday night?
Sir? Tuesday night at the Garden City Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. Garden City Bar, Charlie comes in, Diane and I are in there, and it's a really, really beautiful bar, and the bartender made up this really nice menu of cocktails, all named after the Belmont Stakes entrance.
Okay.
So
okay.
Charlie and I said,
I might have been afraid to drink a name of Palace Malice.
Well, it was fabulous, and coincidentally, it was in their colors, green and yellow. It was really nice. And pineapple juice. I don't drink that stuff. I just had beer, but Diane had one, said it was great. Charlie had one. That was great. Then about 15 minutes later, in comes Dallas Stewart and trained Golden Soul. Now, he's got to have a Golden Soul.
I had one, too.
So Charlie orders a Golden Soul. You see, he has a horse with Dallas Stewart, too. So they're drinking away, having a great old time.
So you get in trouble if you have a big stable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And then 15 minutes later, in walks Gary Stevens and Lafitte Pinkeye III, and now Gary's got to have an oxbow.
Oh.
So he orders an oxbow. I mean, the marketing genius at this hotel bar, knowing that people like us were going to come in and drink all these drinks just because they were named after
14 them. Horse field, too.
I think the drinks were $14 a piece. I mean, they weren't cheap.
Not like the free beer from last night.
Huh? No, the free beer was fabulous, but it was a great time. And then the day of the the day of the post position draw. Diane and I were on the backside, and I was handing out the new magazines.
Where's mine?
I forgot it at Doug's house. He got me all, he was yelling at me. He started yelling at me before he got in the car today. So I called discombobulated, forgot the box.
He hadn't driven you in 2 weeks. That's why I had to catch up on yelling at
him. Oh, my God. He looked at me and says, you driving again? I said, oh, Susan will yell at me if I don't drive. So it was really great because we were in John Sheriff's barn and he was showing us Dr. Fager's stall at Belmont. Mm-hmm. He had a big, nice big sign up there and Dr. Fager's thing. We get a call from Charlie. Charlie says, Michael, you have to come here. And I said, what is it, Charlie? He goes, you have to come up here. He says, all these other tables are filled. I'm the only one here at the Dogwood table.
Is that right?
So we got in the car and we drove up there and Diane and I sit down, you know, feeling a little uncomfortable because really we had no business being there, although it was very kind to Charlie. But, you know, Mike Rapoli's got all the horses and all the people. They're overflowing. There's not enough room for them. But one of the cool things was Charlie was about 10 feet away from the Belmont trophy that they had on display. So I said, Charlie, get up there. I said, well, take your picture with the Belmont trophy. It'll either be the only time you'll ever get near that trophy or it'll just be a dress rehearsal. So it turned out to be a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
It was just,
I think we brought the trophy with him.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And Todd Campbell and everybody at Dogwood is really fabulous. But Charlie has been great to old friends from the beginning. He helped us get Walenda back from Japan. We've retired a couple of Charlie's racehorses. He's just, you know, if everybody in the game was like you and Charlie and Dr. Byers, you know, we'd be a lot better. We'd be a lot better off.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael. Well, thank you.
All right, I'm not going to say anything nice about anybody the rest of the day, especially Dr. Byers, because it's very great.
I'm just protecting myself.
Well, where are you going with the horse next? What does Scott have to say?
He's going to go to the Jim Dandy. That's the plan. And then hopefully on to the Travers. Mm-hmm. And then can't help but sometimes dream about even bigger things down the road for him. But those are the first two steps, the Jim Dandy and the Travers.
I'll bet you one thing. I bet you never wear blinkers again.
No, sir. I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah, absolutely.
He was absolutely that the day he had the blinkers on. That was the Derby, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he ran off.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He completely turned that race upside down, I think, because I, you know, he set it up perfectly for the closers.
Yeah.
And including my buddy Dallas Stewart's Golden Soul.
Yeah.
I tell Dallas almost every day he owes me a piece of that purse.
Yeah.
We set it up for him.
Yeah.
And
you know he finished pretty good.
He really did.
Considering early fractions.
Yes, sir.
Now.
Yes, sir. And I think Mike eased up on him a little bit. So if he really wanted to or needed to, he would have placed a couple of spots earlier. But that wasn't necessary at that stage.
You know, last week I was talking to Steve Moody, who's the handicapper, comes on the show every week to the segment. And he gave me who he liked and everything. And I asked him, what about Palace Malice? And he made a, you know, made a case for him and everything, but he didn't pick him.
Right.
But I had thought, you know, this horse is going to run good today.
Yeah, sure. He had a lot of backers. We'd like to find out who the backer was. And I talked to some people a couple of days ago. I'm really curious about who placed all that money on him right at the end. You know, within the last minute or so before the gate opened, he went from 15 to 1 to 13 to 1, just like that. I mean, with that huge of a...
That big a hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, that had to be a big bundle.
Yeah, somebody really got on him big. Now, Michael would tell you this, too. At the post-position draw, Steve Haskin and... Lenny Schulman both kind of apologized to me because they told me they said they were picking Palace Malice, but they were telling us that's a sure jinx.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Steve came over. He goes, "He said, Charlie, I have some bad news for you. Uh-huh. What is it?" So I'm picking your horse, and he said, "I haven't picked the winner for the Belmont in 3 decades." and Lenny practically fainted. He said, "Oh my God, this is the kiss of death." Yeah. He might have had a. Lenny said he might have had a chance until now.
Yeah, right. Oh my! Well, that's
those guys have supported him all along, especially Steve. He's been touting this horse for quite a long while. I overheard him telling somebody he didn't realize I was within earshot, but I heard him telling somebody a couple of days before the race that the only thing he worried about the horse or didn't like about the horse was the planned experiment to put blinkers on him in the Derby.
Yeah.
It did backfire, but
yeah,
but I understand exactly. I know why it happened, and there are good reasons why it happened. And we can't dwell on that too much about what might have been. I mean, we're thrilled to win the Belmont Stakes. I'll tell you that.
Charlie, tell him what you have in your trunk.
Well, it's in. I told him it's in the hotel room now, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Janet and Val advised me last night to get it out of the trunk and put so it's drying out. I'm going to take it maybe to Kroger's and Louisville to try to figure out how to get it preserved.
Right. Yeah. So, the Kroger and Louisville, they do the Derby blankets.
Yeah. Right? That's why they think that they'd be a good place to go to try to get it taken care of. I need some quick. I need some quick attention before the flowers whip too much more. Yep. I got the carnation. I rescued the carnation blanket. I'm not sure what could have happened to it. I think it might. It might have just been tossed in a few days. It Todd's born.
Yeah.
So they kept good care of for several days. I was the last one hanging around, so I brought it home.
There you go. Got to take a little break here.
All right, I'm going to make way for the good doctor.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. Come on, get over here.
You know what that guy is?
What the heck?
Jim Williams is coming in.
He is?
You remember Jim?
Sure, of course. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
He used to do the paddock demonstrations when we used to bring Orson over there. Right. When we did bring Orson, when he was doing all that great stuff over at Keenan.
He was director of communications at Keenan for years and years.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He's supposed to be here.
Is he having fun?
I play golf. I play a lot of golf.
I don't see him at the simulcast at all.
Oh. You don't?
No.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Somebody, he's having more fun on the golf course.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, June 10 in France, Moussier, a 3-0 goal by the hair, an amazing special in his very first start. 4 days earlier, Ajram, another 3-0 goal by the hair, racing abroad, posted his second win in as many starts, both in 9 claiming races. And just a week earlier, Ascot Eye, 3-0 goal by the hair, was the talk of Arlington Park after winning her debut in a maiden special by nearly 8 widening lengths. The hare is the sire of 11 winners and 14 starters, and 6 of the 11 won either the first or the second start. Among them, Gypsy Robin, she led a grade 2 Lexus Raven Money Stakes at Keenan. Charlie, if you born at Keenan, Mama Sorority Stakes, the inaugural stakes at Perth Cow, second in the grade 1 test, and winner of $498,000. The Sia. Second in the Bassan Stakes. And I put up in multiple stakes by
Scott.
They are larger copper folds on the way.
Slowly.
Grade 1 stakes when you're building it up. Sire Austin. There. $5,000. Live folds. Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Shaddy Manager Ken Barnes and see the website. ShadwellFarm.com. If you want to save 10% on your tax, or stuff that you buy from a tax shop, just walk in the front door and buy something from, my good friend Ralph Quillen, Allen Quillen Leather and Tack, 1929 South Main Street in good old Paris, Kentucky. Easy to find it. If you come in from Lexington, go to the straight toward downtown Paris, go to the third stoplight, look to your left, and there it is. Just one. I tell you what, though, with those steps that he's got for us old folks, those things get steeper every year, you know. I've noticed that. Well, he's going to have to put in an elevator or something.
That's because he only wants young girls coming up those steps, not old men.
Well, what do you think I'm following? I forgot why, but I'm following. Well, anyway, it's a great tax shop. They ship out over 17,000 halters a year. I mean, that's the ones that just ship out. God only knows how many they sell around here to repair. It's almost instant repair service. If you got that broken halter, that's what I do. I just put mine in there and get them fixed. And it's a great gift shop they have there. It's a wonderful place to go to shop. It's a fun place to go in. Go and say hello to Sandy or Debbie or Ralph. And they'd be happy to show you around and just browse around and look at things. And of course they've got, make all of their own tack right there. It's a, Quillen Leather and Tack. That's Quillen, .com. QILLIN.com. On the website. Well, Daily Racing Form Reading Edition, Sunday. That's today, tomorrow. But it came out today. I've got mine today. Some really nice articles. I haven't had a chance to read them yet. There's a profile of Will Ferris, Palace Malice. Of course, Joe Neville. He's raised over at Mr. Ferris's Lean Z and Farm. a profile of Dogwood Stables. Cot Camel, written by Nicole Russo. Mary Simon's writing about Curlin, who's come up with now with a Belmont Stakes winner, classic winner in his first trot. And safety considerations in transporting horses. Glennie Kane Oakford wrote that article. It should be good. All she had to do is go over and talk to Miss Sally Vance. And preview of the OBSC June sale with Patrick Reed. So that's the Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. So go pick up your copy. And golly, you'll be glad that you did. I got Dr. Doug Beyer here with me now. He got here late today. And has got hope. That's what his t-shirt says. He's always wearing, mostly he's in here plugging beer.
I thought he was this time too. I thought it said got hops.
No. Well, get closer to that mic, Doc.
Well, I want to congratulate you on your festivities last night.
Well, thank you.
And I'm sorry we didn't, Susan scheduled us to a separate deal.
Okay.
So we missed that.
Well, that's,
but we
drink enough without you.
We'll. But I'm proud of you. I think this whole industry's proud to know you.
Well, thank Amen. You. That's very kind of you. But you didn't have to say that.
Well,
nobody
I did.
Believes you.
Well, when I say we're all pleased to know you and. You're an asset to all of us.
Well, thank you, Doug. Well, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I don't really have anything to talk because Michael tells me yesterday you're not going to say anything because we're going to fill in all the stuff. Too. But you can come along.
I got a question for you.
Yeah?
That's the old stud horse we got there now. I think you've got a touch of cushion. What should I do?
Well,
this is a rescue stud horse we had then. 28-year-old son of secretary. Go ahead.
First of all, you kind of want to know if it is Cushing.
Yeah.
So just check his glucose.
Okay.
Or something like that. But there's a drug called Pergolot.
Mm-hmm.
And you possibly have these things on drugs or combinations for the rest of his life. No, it'll never.
Yeah.
So, if he's got it, you know, he doesn't shed his hair. And
he sheds some, Doc.
Yeah.
Not, he's not 100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't, the horse, I can't get any weight on him. He,
yeah.
Of course, he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's pretty active. Very active horse. But, and I'm feeding him longevity.
Yeah.
That I get from, the college. He's great appetite. I mean, he'll eat everything at all. I've got his paddocks great to grass. I rotate his paddocks. I just get two paddocks. I'll
right.
run over him. So he's getting all the pasture he wants and all the feed he wants.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good that he's moving around and active because,
oh yeah,
you know, a lot of those horses start to get laminitis and they don't move around much.
Oh, he's got great feet.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, he moves. You know, he thinks he's young.
Well, I would just see if he's got, glucose,
okay.
Abnormality. Yeah. And probably, and if you don't do it, you know, not the end of the day, but there's some, different drug combinations you can
mm-hmm.
use. And,
he's pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got him turned out where it's a double pair of paddocks, you know, and
right.
some horses are in the field right next to him where he can see other horses. And, and pretty content.
Yeah. Well, you know, it, again, going back to Cushing's stall, maybe wet.
Yeah, because, not much.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, this is that horse who was confined in a stall for 7 years.
Yeah, and of course, he's a stud, too,
yeah,
so he'll mark territory.
He didn't like a stall.
Yeah.
He'll come and eat, and then he starts tearing stalls. So he doesn't come up very often.
He doesn't sound like he's
got it, but you know, you just want to know. And if you put them on the drug medication, and there's a new one that's come out, and I can't remember the name of it, but
okay.
But Fertilide is the one, right. And just control their metabolic activity.
Okay.
And that's why I say he might not have it, because their metabolic activity is pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things you can look, check. Their eyes, the orbits where they have that depression called the sulci above the eye, they tend to bulge.
Okay, I'll look for that.
Yeah.
I don't think yours do.
Yeah.
Because I would have noticed that.
Yeah. Well, they get bulged, and then the, eyes themselves get glaucoma. So, and these are the advanced cases. And you take your fingers and put them on the eye, and they're too firm, too hard.
Okay.
And so, and, as you got those, and you say, well, we're going to have to treat him for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Well, at 28, how long is that going to be? He's probably going to be 40.
Yeah. He doesn't sound to me like he's got.
All right.
Because if he's 28, hair coat and everything else, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah.
You tend to notice
that. Well, he shed some, but not enough.
Yeah.
Of course, we had him blanketed this winter. And,
uh-huh.
And he shed pretty good when we first took the blanket off of him, but then it seems like it just kind of stopped. There's still some there, but you know. Right. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
All right.
Well, they get, and there's a cheaper way than the, there's one, called, you got.
I'm looking for cheaper.
Well, you got the Pergolide, and then that type of Heptidine, and then you've got generic form, and there's so much stuff out there to choose from, but you don't know what.
Yeah.
A lot of just
time and error.
Yeah. Well, I'm driving, and I'm always critical of all of these over-the-counter drugs.
Got to take a break, Doc.
All right.
All right. Now, thanks for your help. We appreciate that.
That'll be coming in the mail.
I'll send you a bad check. let's see where we are here. Thursday at Belmont, the $90,000 Locker Stakes was won by My Happy Face, a three-year-old filly in the first car by Tim.
Wonderful.
Bet the Spencer Farm and Showhand Place, My Happy Face, never finished for second in six starts. After breaking her maiden at Saratoga by 21 1/4 lengths, she ran second, beating ahead in the Grade 1 Frisette at Belmont. Then she won the Grade 3 Temperance Stakes at Aqueduct. In her first start of 2013, she was second in the Grade 3 Forward Gal Stakes at Charleston for the most graded stakes win at Quiet City, daughter Malibu Moon. The Locker Stakes was her second start of the year. My Happy Face is one of 34 winners, four stakes horses in the first crop by Tis Wonderful, son of Hall of Famer Tis Now. She's also her size Charlie graded stakes horse. That's his tremendous replacement Grade 2 Stakes and Tis Wonderful.
He's kicked me out.
Start. Around the World, winner of his debut in a maiden special at Wood Bynum, June 1. Fred Man, second in a maiden special at Churchill on June 1. Undefeated at 2, Tis Wonderful, won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes in the Grade 3 or 4. He's at Spencer's Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Dave Dempsey, or Mark Kuzaker. And see the website at SpencerFarm.com. Brisnet.com. I'm going to get Steve Moody in here from Brisnet.com here pretty soon.
I'll give you a character. I'll give you the Steve Moody pick of the day.
Well, okay. I'm trying to do a commercial for Brisnet.
Oh, sorry.
You just shut up over there.
They're fabulous, by the way. I use all their information.
They really are good, aren't they? Tell them what you get off there for a handicap.
All kinds of things. You know, they have, one of the great things they have are pace numbers. And pace numbers for somebody like me that's picking losers is trying to figure out what horses can finish in the money. And really move the exotics way up in terms of their payoffs. And if you use their pace numbers, they're really, really good. It's easy to pick out who they think the early speed is going to be. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow at Churchill Downs in the sixth race, I have a horse that I've made a lot of money on.
Okay.
And she still hasn't broken
her... Come on in, Jim.
And she hasn't broken her maiden yet.
And she hadn't broken...
Thank God. I hope she never breaks her maiden. She's had 10 starts and 7 in the money.
I've had a few of those.
7 in the money, right?
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Well,
how many starts?
She's only 10. 7 out of 10 in the money.
Okay.
Consistency, consistency, consistency. She's earned over $50,000.
Yeah.
Finished in second and third.
Okay. All right. So I'm listening.
I'm trying not to push her. Because the longer she stays in this condition, the better off I'm going to be. Now
this is a Brisnet commercial.
She went off. Now she went off at 14-1 and almost won. Rosie Roder, and not in the last start. Before that, she finished second by head. I thought she was going to win, and I only had her second and third.
You know, Moody tries to give us winners, and you're giving us losers.
Well, that's why this is such a compelling radio show. But no, Brisnet's been very, very, very helpful. And tomorrow in the sixth race, I should also tell you that Charlie, my friend here, Charlie from Dogwood Stables, my good friend Charlie, he owns Cora Mesa by himself.
Oh, is that right? Oh, well, I'm sorry to knock your horse.
No, that's all right. I'm accustomed to it.
You're accustomed to it? Well, I bet you're getting a check. Right.
Yeah, she's
what's she buy?
Sky Mesa.
Yeah. Okay.
She's the only homebred I've ever had.
Is that right?
Yeah, I
where do you keep your mare?
Over at Three Chimneys, but we lost the mare and her baby during a foaling that went bad.
Oh, my, this is a bad.
Yeah.
Was she a young mare?
Yeah, pretty young. She'd only had, I think it was her fifth foal, maybe her sixth.
What if this one
passed?
This a filly?
Yeah.
Right. Maybe she went a couple of parties.
Her big sister's a filly named In the Rough.
Okay.
And she's a stakes winner already.
Oh,
and she's done really well. And Cora's going to win some races and mess up Michael's betting. But she's going to be a winner. I'm going to stick with her. She's stuck with me. I'm stuck with her.
So he's sitting over here. Here you are coming down visiting. You're supporting old friends, and he's picking your horse to lose.
Yeah, well,
what the kind of a friend is this?
I separate, like everybody else in this business, I separate my handicapping from everything else.
Okay.
Cold, cruel operation.
If you want to lose it, just ask me. I can give it for free. All
right. They have to lose in the right spot. If they lose fifth or sixth, that's no good. They have to lose second, third, or fourth.
Okay.
It's a very specific kind of operation.
All right. What race is this thing in, man?
This thing is named Cora Mesa. I at least have a little respect for it.
What Cora Mesa?
Sixth race.
Go in
a mile. Well, she just might tomorrow. She'll just to goof me up with Charlie.
I hope she does.
If you see Charlie smiling in the winner's circle tomorrow, you'll know I'm the one else that's sliding and tearing up my jacket.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Herschel.
All right. Good meeting you, Charlie. Introduce yourself to Jim Williams out there.
I will. Thank you very much, sir.
Jim was with Keeneland for many, many years.
Herschel, thanks a lot. And I also, Janet also asked me, I have to beg for more webbing. And I ran into Matt Howard last night. He's going to bring us some free hay this week sometime.
Oh,
so that's really, really nice.
Hell, Matt. He's something.
Yeah, he's great. He's really great.
He's a great
friend. And again, Herschel, that was a great, great party last night. And I know you're going to be retired from clocking.
Get on the wire.
You're retired from Marathon.
No, I'm going to hang around.
Good.
All right.
Yeah, Herschel, eventually he's going to let you finish your Brisnet commercial, too.
Oh, is he? I got to talk about Reborn now, which is a whole bovine colostrum. It's concentrated bovine colostrum. Provides support through all stages of the thoroughbred's career, starting with foals. And it's a great product. You need to call. Let me give you a number to call. It's an 800 number, 901-8498. Or you can go to reborn.com. It's R-E-B-O-R-N-E. R-E-B-O-R-N-E, reborn.com. And I tell you what, though, lots of people use it. Why is Dan read on it? And of course, once a year, that's good enough recommendation right there. Also, Lubricin. Come on in, sit down, Jim. Lubricin, which is sustains the integrity of joint fluid, And it can reduce the cost of, you know, surgery, possible surgery and so forth, injection and everything. Todd Fletcher uses it, Tony Duffield, Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker. That should be enough recommendation right there. So the two great products, it's Lubricin.com and Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N-E.com. So go to the website. You can buy them, incidentally, at KBC here in Lexington, at Horse Sense down in sales. And Jackie, my wife, takes that Lubricin. They make it for humans also. And she swears by it. And she, you know, she says when she stops taking it, she gets to aching. So I'm past that stage. I just go on aching. So anyway, those are two great products. All right, where are we?
Pin up.
Got a new pin up. Okay, Cowboy Cal won over $1 million. He was something special right from the start. Broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Belmont, going a mile in 1:34. 2-year-olds don't run a mile that fast very often. And he won the historic Pimlico Futurity by over 6 lengths. He went on at 3-4 to live up to his advanced billing. He won graded stakes both seasons. In fact, he won 5 graded stakes and placed in 6 more, including seconds and 3 grade ones and a third in another. All told, he won a place in 13 stakes at 8 different tracks. Hollywood Park, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Churchill, Gulfstream, Keenan, Calder, Ball, Cowboy Calder by Dice Causeway out of a half sister. By seeking the gold to the grade one stakes winner of over 4 or 8 grade one stakes winner of over 4.5 million. And it stands at Pin Oak for $7,500 live full. Also standing at Pin Oak are the top sire Broken Vow and Scott Classic. And remember, Pin Oak was also the home of the outstanding sire Maria's Mom. There's a tradition of standing successful sires at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiry to Clifford Berry, David, Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Ursula.
You're welcome, my friend. Where are we? Lost again?
Here.
We gotta go to, we gotta do this one. And then I'm gonna get started with Jim Williams. Well, he's reading the racing form. Just typical of Jim Williams. Come sit right down, ignore everybody, and start reading the racing form. We'll start in with you, and then I'll have to take a little break, Jim. Thank you for coming by. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. Ursula, it's good to see you again.
Well, it's been a while. I noticed that, looking back, I think you and I started, after Keenan at about the same time. When did you go to work at Keenan?
Oh, of course I was around Keenan for years and years and years.
I talked about working at Keenan.
I went to work in 71, 1971. And, of course you all had the offices there with, Mickey McGuire and, Logan Bailey and, there in the, horse stalls of the old Keeneland.
That's what you all charged us for rent. We had 3 stalls and the charged stall rent.
Well,
to the day of racing.
What better way to calculate it?
Well, I started, when Ted did last. And I think it was 68.
Yeah, he came in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 68.
And still comes out there every day.
Got an office out there.
Has an office out there and, stays very close and
Stan Jones
talked to Ted Bassett the other day and he's sounding well.
Oh great. He's one of my heroes, you know, old Marine and great admirer of Ted and what a story like he's had. Do you read that autobiography? I'm sure you did.
I have and seen some of the public television telecast that was based on that, but you know, he was just an outstanding person to work for, and you know, a tremendous leader, and supported his people, and really was a great privilege to have worked for him for so long.
Yeah, you were there a long time. You retired about the same time, and I quit that post-time radio show, I think.
Yeah, I guess it was time for both of us to go on.
Yeah, it was about 5, coming up on 5 years.
I retired in 2009.
Yeah. You started out with the Herald Leader.
I worked at the Herald Leader, and I actually started covering some high school basketball, and ultimately I'd shown a little interest in racing, so cover some racing. Actually covered the 1965 Derby, the first Derby I ever went to. And that's Lucky Debonair.
Lucky Debonair.
Yeah. And covered racing, the sales at Keeneland. And when J.B. Faulkner left Keeneland in 71, he recommended me for the job, and I was there for 38 years.
Yeah, you like the job.
It was, yeah. Well, what a, you know, what an opportunity to work for the best, a world class sales company and great racing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Was it two papers at that time, the Herald and the
Herald? Yes, there was the morning paper was the Herald, and the afternoon paper was the
Democrat,
the leader, Republican. The leader, and then they ultimately merged and became one.
Yeah. Who else was on the staff?
Well, there was a lot of interesting people. Billy Reed was on the staff. Ed Ashford was the sports editor. Billy Thompson. Dave Vance, who went on to be the general manager of the Kentucky Colonels and opened Remington Park. And Dave was, brought on the first sponsorship up at Turfway Park. I think he was responsible for that. Mike Ruling, who ended up working for Senator Ford and became in the governmental or went on to governmental affairs with CSX Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of very talented people.
Oh, golly, that's Ed Ashford was a character.
He was indeed a character.
Yeah, he was a long time. I think he used to do that radio show at one time.
Well, I think he may have been on one of the early radio broadcasts from Keeneland, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken, and he was one of the sports editors that really was, you know, he was interested in all sports. And not only when he went to New Orleans or something to cover a UK basketball game or whatever, he was at the Fairgrounds as well. So he was an interesting man.
Yes, he was. He passed away a long time ago. You knew Mickey, real well, McGuire, what a fine old gentleman he was.
Mickey wasn't.
I was looking at that book that Keeneland put out, you know, Keeneland as it used to be, and then now, that's not what they call it, but you know, book I'm talking about. There's a picture of him at one of the early sales, and there's Mickey standing there talking to Olin Gentry. Yeah.
Right. Well, we worked, you know, closely with Mickey when Mickey had his offices there at Keeneland, and of course, our general offices were almost side by side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the way it goes that way. Now, you're from Lexington, I
think. No, I was actually born in northeastern Pennsylvania, moved to Lexington in the late 50s.
Did you go to transit?
And went to Lafayette and graduated from UK.
What are you looking for, Rizzi? What are you looking for?
Where are these numbers?
Huh? All right, okay. I thought maybe we'd lost something important. My engineer ran around going through all my stuff here. Want to search my pockets?
No.
You want a Coke?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. There's a tea in there, too. You like that? Okay. Talking to Jim Williams. Let me take a break here and catch up, and I'll get right back to you, Jim. See where in the heck I am. 40 Tales of 304 by Taylor the Cat. You can go back to reading the racing form. Won the grade 2 $400,000 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont last Saturday. That same day at Hollywood Park, Taylor the Champion, Tale of a Champion by Taylor the Cat, won the Grade 2 $200,000 Charles Whittingham Memorial. That's two Grade 2 stakes winner. 40 Tales, bred by the Randall Family Trust and trained by Todd Fletcher, outdoor Declan's Warrior, colt in the first crop by the nation's number one second crop sire, Majestic Warrior, to win the Woody Stevens by 3/4 of the length. It was his first start since winning the Grade 3 Derby Trial Stakes at Churchill on April 27th, and his fourth win from six starts. The Whittingham was the third stakes win for Tale of a Champion, who was bred by Judy Hicks and Captain Nickel, trained by Christian Mulhall. Tale of the Cat is the sire of 2013 stakes winners, three of them graded stakes winners, and among sons of the great Stormcat, only a stablemate, John's Causeway, ranks above him on the 2013 general sire. Dale the Cat stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more info, call the farm, 859-873-7088. You can see the website at coolmore.com. June 8th at Churchill Downs, the grade $300,000 early time Mid Julep Stakes was won by Ms. Ida Toyo Philip, a proud citizen, bred and owned by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein. Ms. Ida won the Mint Julep at the direct expense of grade one stakes winner Daisy Divine to post her seventh win, fifth stakes win from 12 career starts. She won the grade three Valley View at Keenan last fall, and she was one of 12 stakes winners of 2012, a proud citizen. Ms. Ida is certainly not the first daughter of proud citizens to win major stakes at Churchill Downs. Millionaire Believe You Can and Multimillionaire Proud Spell, both by proud citizens, both won the classic grade one Kentucky Oaks. Then on Sunday, June 9th in Canada, I Think So, a 3-year-old filly by proud citizens, bred by Tom Gamble and the Proud Citizen Syndicate, won the Emerald Downs Handicap. Winner earlier at the Fairgrounds, I Think So, has won two straight stakes. Proud citizen, a grade two stakes winner, second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness, and a son of Gone West. Is it Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and see Jones Air of Your Stud? Watch for the Proud Citizen yearlings at the major sales and see the website at airofyourstud.com. And remember, the Air of Your Stallions are your key to racing profit. I'm talking to Jim Williams, formerly of Keeneland, now retired to the golf course, I'm sure. You got that golf course tan over there. I can see that. Well, you went to work at out of Keeneland, golly, I guess you saw a lot of great racing out there. What sticks out in your mind? Any of those races that you got?
Oh, there are so many things. Ursel, so many great horses. Horses like Spectacular Bid and Buddy Delp and all of the...
Now, he won the Bluegrass, right?
Won the Bluegrass and Shortfield, Ronnie Franklin. Then went on to win so many great races. Alidar, and then all the great fillies that won the Spinster, Susan's Girl, and Bea Cole, Passiana, just so many of those great mares that ran in the Spinster during their careers.
Can you remember the first time you ever went to Keeneland?
Yeah, I actually can. I went in, it was the spring of 1958, and I think it was the first year of the Daily Double.
Is that right?
It might have been the first year that they went from 7 to 8 races. So it was I can't remember any of the horses that ran, but it was kind of a milestone year in that time. And then, back then, the Phoenix Handicap was running in the spring, the Ben Ally, they were running a week apart.
In the spring.
Yeah.
Now, Phoenix was always at 6, wasn't it?
Always at 6 furlongs, and then the Ben Ally came along a week later at the Beard Course distance of 7 furlongs, and it wasn't uncommon for horses to run in both races back then, and from 6 furlongs up to 7 furlongs. The Bluegrass for years and years was $25,000, so it's quite a change over the years.
Thoroughbred Club of America, the dinner purse.
It was the Thoroughbred Club dinner purse, and I think back then, early on, it was for 2-year-olds.
All those bombers on 2-year-olds were
coming. Right, you had to be a member of the Thoroughbred Club, and then if you won the race, you were honored that night, given the purse, the actual, the old-time purse with the money in it, and had an opportunity to address the Thoroughbred Club.
Okay, now this was in, you said, the 60s?
Well, I guess it had to go. I can't remember the exact history of the Thoroughbred Club, but it was back in probably in the 60s when it was still that way. And then I think they changed the conditions and eventually made it a stakes race.
I think the club itself was at the Phoenix. Okay.
When I remember the beginning, it was at the Phoenix and then ultimately moved to the Thoroughbred Club. And then Keeneland bought the property there on Rice Road, almost rebuilt that house there and offered it to the Thoroughbred Club where it's been since.
Yeah, it moved from Phoenix out to that hotel that they tore down out on South Broadway. Big hotel, what was the name of it?
Springs. It was just Springs. Springs. Yeah, it was Springs for a number of years.
Yeah. And then it moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but, oh gosh, so many, I'm trying to think of some of the other 3-year-olds. And then you mentioned the Blamazon horses that were so dominant in the spring of the year. Well, the fall as well, and, always unveiled their 2-year-olds there and the 2-year-old races. And, many of those horses came back to win again and again and again, and as older horses.
Well, the farms around here at that time, a whole lot more private breeders in that time, and they were very supportive of racing team, right from the beginning.
They were indeed, and Millard Waldheim, and it was managed for so many years by Bill O'Neill.
Bill was great.
And they really bred a lot of outstanding horses and not probably paying exorbitant prices for stud fees back then. And, but they were not dominant on the national scene, but they were prominent on the national scene.
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah. Winchester.
Yes.
That's where Nick grew up down there. And they did it.
He did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fun. Looking back, I think my first race, I think, was in 1938. I believe I was a kid.
Well, yeah, what kingdom would open in 36, 37, and raced.
Went out to see an old horse run named Longa Dixiana, named Aaron Torch. Went wire to wire going a mile on the 16th, and then I thought, Jesus, animal.
That's right. And, Dixiana was a regular every spring and fall.
Oh yeah,
for Jack years. Hodgins. Jack Hodgins. I did not know him, and then ultimately Chuck Wurstler. And so there, a lot of those farms supported Keeneland on an annual basis.
It's all hard work when they breed a maturity.
I can't remember it exactly, but did see him actually run in the. Arlington, I went to the Arlington Futurity that year. Uh-huh. I think it was run under the lights at Arlington Park, one of the first years when Marge Everett put the lights in and they raced some at night.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they did indeed.
Now that last time I was at Arlington was in 1964, I believe.
I can't remember what year he was, but
it was daytime then.
But
then they race every night at night.
No, they didn't race every night, but they did run the Arlington Arlington Futurity, and back at that time it was one of the richest races, and if not the richest race in the country, as I recall it, in the Garden State Stakes in the fall. Yeah,
it was the richest Garden State. And then they had the Washington Park Futurity, but then they closed Washington Park up in the 70s, I think.
I never went to Washington Park. I was only at Arlington. I was at the old Arlington and then the, of course, the new Arlington.
I went to both of them. Well, I haven't been to the new one, but I've been to Arlington Park, but I was at Washington Park.
Well, the new Arlington is, it's as nice a racetrack as you'll ever go in, and it's been several years since I've been there, and it was beautifully manicured, and Mr. Duchessois always put a great emphasis on customer service.
You hear that.
It's just unfortunate that the racing isn't as strong as you would expect in one of the nation's largest cities.
Yeah, the purses are good. You would think it would grow, but of course they've got so many casinos and everything else.
A lot of competition.
A lot of competition. Take a break. I'll be right back with you. You've got to pay the bills, Well, last Saturday, Hollywood Park, the grade $250,000 honeymoon handicap was run by Sirach, 303 by Arch, ridden home by Wertheimer and Freer, and trained by Richard Mandela. Sirach bid all the way, going a mile and eighth, one by a length over the graded stakes winner Scarlet Strike, the daughter Smart Strike. Ciroc is just the latest in a long list of superior stakeswomen by Arch, a list that includes four champions, including the breed Blame. He has sired 9 Grade 1 stakes winners, and they've won Grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs, at Saratoga, at Hollywood Park, Woodbine, Delmar, Belmont, Gulfstream, Oakland, Royal Ascot, Newmarket. And that's why last year Archer sales weanlings sold for an average of over 124,000, his yearlings for an average of over 104,000, and his 2-year-olds averaged over 202,000. A great source of stamina. Archer's daughters have already produced such runners as Uncle Mo, I'll Have Another Contestant. Arch stands at Claiborne Farm. And for more information, get the talk about the stands at Claiborne Farm. Get in touch with Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. Pulled up the paper the other day, our weekly paper from Bourbon County, and by golly, there's an ad in there from Hill Parker. LakeshoreFarms.com. 3 properties down in Bourbon County. Why don't you get a farm down there, Jim? They've got a nice place over here for on a Hawkins Cummins, 38 acres, just right around the corner from where I live. Of course, that might be not be a salient selling point there, but anyway. And you've got another farm place up on Pleasant Street. Now, this is right in downtown Paris. A beautiful old home for $250,000. And a big place on Hawkins Cummins. Where that one is? It's 75 acres, but they're going to divide it and sell either 59 acres or the other section anyway. But that's Hill and Reagan Parker, of course. And Hill's a horseman. He's in the real estate business, been in the real estate business. He and Hill and Reagan now for about 12 dozen years. He's a hands-on horseman, so he used to train out here and always did very well. He's got listings at Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and prices. And they'll help you find just the right farm. You call them up and they'll find it for you. And great place to list. So take a look at the website. It's LexHorseFarms.com for Hill and Reagan Parker. And let me see where I'm going from here. I'm going to find my good friend, Pope McLean, around here. So we're going to talk about no biz like showbiz. He signed 19 winners now. The New York Stakes winner and 3 stakes horses in his first crop, the 3-year-old. This just keeps on growing. A runner himself, he won 6 graded stakes. Beat any given Saturday in the grade 1 wood. Beat Scat Daddy in the grade 3 Holy Bull. Earned over $1,544,000 at 2 and 3. He signed winners that made a track from coast to coast, more on the way. And remember, when you see a no-biz like Showbiz at the yearning sales this year, that he's doing just that. Especially if they're in the sales consignment of Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, because they raise them right at the McLean family's Crestwood Farm. Down through the years, they've raised over 230 stakes horses. And it's the only farm in the nation to raise 3 fillies that went on to win $200,000 or more each, Serena Song, Island Fashion, and Extra Heat at the Crestwood Farm. They offer in a tradition of boarding, sales, credit, sales, wide variety of services. Give them a call, and you'll find out how they can be of assistance. They name the number over there at 859-252-3770. Talk to the people who've done business at Crestwood in the past, and you'll find out what they know. Crestwood Farm's a great farm to do business with. I'm talking to Jim Williams. When you went to work there beside, you know, Ted Bassett was there, who else was working there? Stan Jones.
Well, Bill Greeley.
Bill was there.
Bill was there and was the general manager, and he had come in there. Oh, I don't know whether it was a year or two before when Doc Lavin had a heart attack and filled in for Doc Lavin as the racing secretary. And ultimately, I came there in November of '71. Bill had been hired at that point and joined Keeneland. Following the Calder meeting, he was the racing secretary at Calder at that time. I think it was one of the early meetings at Calder. Mm-hmm. And Bill was there, and Stan Jones, Bill Evans was the director of sales, and then Rogers Beasley ultimately followed Bill Evans as the director of sales.
Mm-hmm. Who did you have people working for you, some couple of really nice ladies, I can't remember the name.
Well, I had a lot of, worked with a lot of outstanding people during my time there. Amy Pettit is still there. She's probably been there some 30 years, maybe longer at that.
Don't be telling her age now.
Yeah. Julie Balog, Fran Taylor, Amy Gregory, who also worked at Churchill Downs, and Amy is still there. And they have some outstanding young people there that have taken up in the marketing department.
Right. Yeah. Now you saw a lot of changes.
Yeah, a lot of changes, and you talk about the people. When I first joined Keeneland, George Weinbrock was the head auctioneer, and Hobart Burton was the track superintendent, and they were both to be very very special people, very talented people, and George was a real character. First major change was the replacement of the center of the grandstand. The old wooden grandstand was torn down following the last. They started the day that the spring meeting ended and had it rebuilt by the opening of the fall meeting.
Is that when they extended it all the way up to the clubhouse?
Well, no, it was done in different phases. The first major phase was the actual center of the grandstand, which straddled probably the 16th pole.
Okay.
I think the old press box was there. Maybe the finish line was further up the stretch at one point. But it was wood, and it was torn down. And then ultimately the upper end of the grandstand was redone in the front of the clubhouse, and then the corporate boxes were added, and so there was for many years there were a series of improvements made, and then the turf course was added I think back in the mid 80s. Sales Pavilion was greatly added to over the years.
Don't forget the public address system.
The public address system, and the first race caller, Kurt Becker. The turf course we talked about, and then the major renovation in the poly track went back in the, when was that, late, I can't remember what it was. That's been 7 or 8 years now. So,
we're getting to that age,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So, a lot of changes. When I first went to Keeneland in the early 70s, I think maybe the acreage was somewhere 150, 200 acres, and now it's probably 1,000. Mm-hmm. So, and added to the land.
Yeah, did they buy that from the Atlantic? Where the recreation center is and everything now, in the library and everything, who did get that property?
Well, it went through a series of owners.
John Gaines
had it at one point. Countess Margaret Battiani owned it at one time. There was a man by the name of Albin, I believe, owned that land at one time, and then ultimately it became available, and Keeneland bought it and now uses it. The library was built there.
That's a great library.
The entertainment center, and now a lot of the parking is on that property.
Yeah. Well, you need it.
They do indeed. When you have over 30,000 people, the parking, it's always been important, but even more so now.
It's a great library.
An outstanding library. There was another person, Amelia Buckley.
Oh my goodness!
When I first went to Keeneland, she was the head librarian. The library was there in the third floor, above the grandstand entrance.
And there was an apartment.
Mr. Bishop, W.T. Bishop's apartment was up there, and
Did he go to live there? Did he go to Oak Lawn?
He went to Oak Lawn Park and was there for many years. And
J.B. Faulkner went with him.
Ultimately, he did. W.T. Bishop was at Keeneland for about a month after I joined Keeneland in the early, or in the late 70s. And he ultimately went to Oak Lawn and was there for many years.
Yeah. Well, what did your duties entail while you were there?
Well, they were broad, and they expanded over the years. Basically, when I first started there, it was a matter of writing press releases and overseeing the advertising, and then it got to involve different things. I even got in the middle of seating for the sales, which wasn't something you look forward to, particularly in July. Oversaw the printing of the catalog, the distribution of the catalog, and kept the statistics.
You traveled a lot.
Traveled some, not a great deal, but a few times a year, in promotion of both the race meeting and the horse sales, that was always fun.
Yeah, well, your family kind of grew up knowing Daddy was working at Keeneland.
Yeah, well, that was that's been one of the really good things about retirement is we were there for the month of October, September, October, November. There were very few days off between the September sale, the November sale, and the race meeting. And then as we went to the sales expanded, when I first went to Keeneland, I think the longest sale was maybe 4.5 days, maybe 5 days, September, and ultimately got up to 15 or 16 days, maybe even 17 days, and we sold consecutively. And race meetings were, I think when I first went to Keeneland, maybe only about 10, 11 days back in the 50s, then the Sunday racing. So it was a great deal of expansion.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing now in retirement?
Play a little golf and do a little vegetable gardening and follow the racing. We've traveled some and tried to watch the racing, not deeply involved, but in fact, we're going to go over to Churchill tonight and see the racing. Still enjoy outstanding racing.
Yeah, it's a great car tonight.
Try to stay involved in that way.
Well, I'll let you go then. You're going to go home and get ready to go to the races.
Well, looking forward to it. An outstanding card, and you still can't beat good racing.
No, it's great. Jim, thanks so much for coming.
All right, Ursula, it's been a great pleasure.
Good to see you again. I'll let you know that. Good to see you very often.
Well, you're looking well, and it was fun to come out here to the Thoroughbred Center.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
Come back and see us.
Okay.
Don't stay away so long this time. All right. All right. What are we doing, Bressy?
The break, and then we'll get Moody on.
Oh, okay. Going to get Brother Moody on?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, First Defense, a Grade 1 stakes winner himself, is well on his way to success at stud with a graded stakes winner and a group stakes winner in his first start. This is how Crow's Hatch is. Win of our first three starts, including Grade 2 Gazelle in New York. Second in a classic Grade 1 Acorn. This is how Dun Elk. Winner of 2 last year, the Group 3 Acorn Stakes. And this year, the Charles II Stakes is placing in Group 2 Champagne and Group 3 Crate, all in Great Britain, plus 4th in Grade 1 Group 5 Beautiful Turf. And he's only starting this month. Two others are placed in stakes, Newline and Belmont Smoking, and the boys are on the turf. First Defense, 7,500 live home at Deadmont Farm, and he is receiving the backing, very strong support from Deadmont Farm. Mares like Grade 1 Stakes winner Yasmac, Grade 1 Stakes winner Price Tag, Grade 1 winner Flute, Grade 1 winner announced. The Dam of Closed Hatches, that's leading this mention in a few of them. First Defense, my bridal song out of the Grade 1 winner Honest Ladies, by a half sister by Seattle Slew, the Infirmary Winchester House. Also at Deadmont is Mizzy Mass. Now the winners of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup of 2 Grade One Breeders' Cup races last fall and of a classic winner in France this year. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website, judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friends from Briss, and that was, I'm going to have Steve Moody on from Briss here in just 1 second. Steve is the handicapper for the Kentucky Handicapper Chief, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier, how Michael Blowen uses it in his handicapping. It's a great source of information for handicappers and for breeders and for guys like me who just like to do a lot of research to write some of these commercials and everything. I absolutely could not do it, without Bloodstock Research Information Services. That's my good friend, Happy Broadbent over there. Firm founded by his dad back in the, gee whiz, that's a long time ago, I guess in the 70s. And it's a great source of information for people in the thoroughbred business. So best thing you can do is to get to know them over at Briss and Bloodstock Research Information Services. I think that phone number over there, I bet not to say it, I think it's 223-4444. Pretty sure that's right. At Bloodstock Research Information Services. Well, Palace Malice, one of the classic $1 million Belmont Stakes was bred by Will Farish and raised on McCauley products at Mr. Farish's Lean In Farm. That same day in California, the Grade 2 Honeymoon was won by Sirach, a daughter of Arch, bred by Elaine and Gerard Wertheimer and raised it on McCauley products at Haggard Farm. And to round it off with four Mama Stakes at Mama Park went to Scrum Diddly Umptious, filly bred by Liberation Farm and Aratus Thoroughbreds and raised at the Trackside Farm with Tom Evans and Pam Clark. Congratulations to all from the folks at McCauley Brothers. Eclipse Award winners, Classic winners, Sales Stoppers, and list of important horses raised on products from McCauley's is long and distinguished, and it just keeps growing and growing. Call Mike Warren and David Longmire and talk to them about the products in McCauley's and the free services that come with every bag you purchase. The number, 859-873-3333. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Passaic. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the whole. All right. Well, I have my good friend Steve Moody on with me today, and big night of racing at down in Churchill. I should have started to say day, but it's night racing today. Steve? Well, which one's the best betting race? Yeah, that'd be good.
All righty. Okay.
And then that's the eighth race. The ninth race is the Regret. That's a mile and an eighth on turf for 3-year-old fillies. And a field of 11 in here. Well matched. Many of these fillies are not most of them are fairly lightly raced, to put it that way. I settled on the three horse in here, Ursel Kitten's Dumplings, Kitten's Joy Filly for the Ramseys, who won the Edgewood. That was back on Derby Day, or excuse me, on Oaks Day, and she really finished full run in that race. Rallied from off the pace and just blew by the field in the stretch run. I think that she'll enjoy the added ground. Shouldn't be any problem for her. She's come back off of that race. She's worked well. I think she's going to be very tough. Joel Rosario, who rode her, he's back in town. He'll come back to ride her today. And I think she's going to be tough to beat. Broken Spell, from the Lucas Barn, had a rough trip last time. I think that, if she can stay out of trouble today, I think she can bounce back with a big effort, even though she's, has had kind of a tough time winning. I think she's got quite a bit of talent, and if she can just finally have a race where she doesn't get herself in some kind of a box, I think she'll run a big race. I'm going to take her second, and then the one horse, Preya, another one who figures to be running late. This one from Kenny McPeak's barn. So in the grade three regret, we're gonna go 3-8-1.
All right. Well, we have something to watch on TV tonight. For a change. For a change, yeah. All right, Steve, thank you so much.
All right, Urkel.
Good luck. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
You can buy that Kentucky Handicap sheet, incidentally. Get it off the internet at brisnet.com, brisnet.com. You can pick it up wherever the celebration form or at Churchill Downs. So it's an interesting, he does a real good job of that. So pick it up. Well, June 10 in France, Mousseur, a 3-year-old colt by De Hare, won a maiden special in his first start. 4 days earlier, Ajram, another 3-year-old by De Hare, racing abroad, posted his second win in as many starts, both in non-claiming races. And just a week earlier, Ascot I, 3-year-old filly by De Hare, was the talk of Arlington Park after she won her debut in a maiden special by nearly 8 widening lengths. De Hare is the sire of 11 winners from 14 starters, and 6 of the 11 won either their first or their second starts. Among them was Gypsy Robin, winner of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Beaumont at Keeneland, Monmouth Park Sorority Stakes, the inaugural stakes at Presque Isle, second in the Grade 1 Test and earner of $498,000. Asia, second in the Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct, and multiple stakes place Castella. There are larger crops of foals on the way by De Hare, who's a Grade 1 Stakes winner by the elite sire, Awesome Again. De Hare, $5,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's an elective surgery outpatient facility. You call them up and tell them what you need done. Make an appointment. They tell you exactly what it's going to cost. And no surprises when you get the bill. That's what it's going to cost, period. You go in, they take care of you, and they ship you out and send you home when the horse is ready, and it's they do a great job. That's Dr. Bill Bernard, who, of course, was for many, many years with Rudin Riddle, and some 20 years, as a matter of fact, and he founded this business in partnership with Dr. Wesley Sutter, who's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist. And two very, very top veterinarians there. And the facilities there are absolutely state-of-the-art. They got a scintigraphy machine over there, bone scan over there, that is first class. In fact, I think it's they've got the only standing MRI in Lexington machine. And everything is a first-class facility over there. Go over and look it around. Or go to the website. It's LexingtonEquine.com is their website, LexingtonEquine.com. It's a great facility, great veterinarians. They take good care of you at a most reasonable price, which is also a plus. That's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's on Georgetown Pike, right where Ironworks empties out onto Georgetown. You can't miss it. Well, last Saturday, Woodbine, $125,000 Trillium Stakes, went to Sister Love, a daughter of Bellamy Road, bred in Kentucky by Kinsman Farm, trained by Mark Cassie. Sister Love won a Trillium by 8.5 lengths in hand. It was a fourth win from 7 starts. She was undefeated in 3 starts, a maiden special at Calder and 2 allowance races down at Gulfstream last year, and she's placed in stakes earlier this year. Now, Bellamy Road has signed 10% black type horses from foals, 14% from starters. Among his stakes horses, Toby's Corner, a Grade 1 stakes winner at Aqueduct, Position Limit, a Grade 2 stakes winner at Saratoga, All Squared Away, a Grade 3 stakes winner at Keeneland. And second and last Saturday's Grade 2 Charles Whittingham Memorial at Hollywood Park, Victoria's Wildcat, a Grade 3 stakes winner at Churchill, George's Angle, a Grade 3 stakes winner at Saratoga. He has sired 15 stakes winners, 19 stakes horses in his first 3 crops and counting. Grade 1 stakes winner, Bellamy Road. Signed runners at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard or Chance Tim. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Well, I got a chance to. They're running the Hill Print Stakes up in New York today. a very interesting horse Hills Prince was. He was a foal in 1947, but he was instrumental in bringing his sire's move from Virginia to Kentucky. And that would be, of course, Prince Quillo, was standing up at, in Virginia, and then came to Claiborne Farm, moved down here. Hill Prince was a half-brother to the top racehorse First Landing, who was a champion two-year-old. Ran third in the Derby. First Landing was but turn two. And Hill Prince was, as I say, the champion three-year-old of his year. And he was a very excellent racehorse. He won 17 of his 30 starts, was in the money in 26 of his 30 starts. That's pretty, don't get a whole lot more consistent than that. Won his first two starts as a two-year-old, first at Aqueduct and then at Monmouth. His first stakes was the Sapling, and he ran second in that to a horse named Casemate. Then he reeled off a series of wins. He won an allowance race at Monmouth Park, moved over to Atlantic City and won the World's Playground. Then he went back to Aqueduct and won the Babylon Handicap. And then he won the Cowden Stakes around out the year. R. Carroll rode him in the last two races. Doug Dotson rode him in the other times, most of them. And so he was a top two-year-old. As a three-year-old, that was be in 1950. He won his first star route. He ran in both the experimental free handicaps. The first one was the both of them at Jamaica, incidentally. First one was at six furlongs, which he won, and then he ran a bad race. After he stumbled in the start and was in head, got in trouble, and ran ninth in the second one. But he came right back and won the Wood, beating Middle Ground, who raced, of course, for King Ranch, a son of Bold Venture. Then he ran second in the Kentucky Derby, got beat by Middle Ground, came back in the Withers, and beat Middle Ground in that one. And then he won the Preakness by five lengths over Middle Ground and Dooley. And let's see the dates on those things just for the heck of it. He won the Wood on April the 22nd. He ran in the Kentucky Derby and ran second on May the 6th. On May the 13th, he won the Withers. 7 days later, he won the Preakness. And 10 days later, he went in the Suburban and ran third, got beat by Loser Weeper, a son of Discovery that raced for, I think he raced for Gwen Vanderbilt. And then he, who was second that day? My request, he was by requested. Then he came back in the Belmont Stakes, got beat four lengths, and ran seventh, but he was right there. Middle Ground won it. And then he went to the Dwyer. My God, and all this is, we're still in June. And he ran second in the Dwyer to a horse named Greek Song. Greek Song was by Heliopolis. Went to Chicago, and he won the American Derby. And he had four more starts as a three-year-old. He won the Jerome, beating Greek Ship. He won the Jockey Club Gold Cup over Noor. Noor was coming off beating Citation three times out in California, and he came west and came east and shouldn't have. He got beat ahead in the Thanksgiving Day Handicap. Three-horse photo between Hill Prince, your host, and Ponder. Then he ran third in the Hollywood Gold Cup, and in the Sunset Handicap, his last start in 1950, he won that, beating Next Move, a daughter, I believe she was by Discovery. And also raced for Mr. Vanderbilt. And let's see, then as the next year, as a five-year-old, 4-year-old, 1951, he was third first time out to T-Maker, a very fast sprinter, Northern Star. Won an allowance race at Belmont, going a mile, and won the New York Handicap at Belmont. I think that's Phillies now, and beat one hitter, son of Shutout. He raced for Green Tree. Got beat ahead in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, a Counterpoint, who was also raced for Green Tree. Was a horse of the year that year, incidentally. He ran second in the Empire Gold Cup, going a mile and 5/8 to Counterpoint. Then he ran fourth, one of the few times he was out of the money, in the Trenton Handicap, won by a horse named Callover. Then he won the San Marcos Handicap in his first start. He made two starts as a 5-year-old. He won the San Marcos handicap, and then in his last start was in the Santa Anita handicap, and he turned in a very ordinary race that day running. If that was his last start, he probably something after him. Went to stud, and it was okay. He saw 23 stakes winners. Levy was his best. Won the Coaching Club American Oaks, the Mammoth Oaks, the Beldame, the Salima. Bayou was a full sister to Levy, incidentally, by won the Acorn, the Delaware Oaks, the Mascot. Pepperwood won the Gardenia. Mary Hill won the Frisette. Tulure won the Black Eyed Susan. Imperial Hill, the Polly Drummond. Luca Tech won the Salima. Pretty Plunger won the Fashion and the Rancoca Stakes. Salt Lake won the Prior Stakes. Julie Kate, the Missy Isle. Wise Nurse won the Marguerite. All fillies, incidentally. And which was probably one of the reasons he was a top broodmare. So he sired 49 stakes. Broodmare sired 49 stakes winners, including the great Chuvie, Dark Mirage, and Naylee. Best colt was, I guess, Riley or Middle Brother. Riley won the Dwyer. Middle Brother won the Lawrence Realization. I think those were his two best colts. No successful sons at stud. I guess Royal Union was the best, and he wasn't much. But anyway, that's the story of Hill Prince. And let me see now where I am here. We'll talk about, got 4 minutes left. All right. Malibu Moon is the number one ranked sire by North American earnings this year. Number one. Temple City is by Dinah Farmer out of the Danzig Mare curriculum. And curriculum is a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Malibu Moon, Dinah Farmer, Danzig, now it's three great sires. Now throw in the fact that Temple City's second dam and his third dam were both Group 1 stakes winners, and that Temple City himself won graded stakes and ran in track record time. And you have a pedigree that's loaded with success and sire potential. Now, the first foals by Temple City are yearlings. You see them at the major auctions this year. You're going to like what you see. Now, here's one more important item. Temple City is eligible for Spendthrift Farmers' popular Breed Secure program. You breed, you sell, and if you don't make a profit, you don't have to pay. So if you have a late foaling mare, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker and talk to them. Phone number is 859-294-0030. Also eligible for the Breed Secure program are the Young Stallions Dominus, Line of David, and Notional. The number again, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I said that talking about the best sons, I forgot about Royal of Hill Prince. I forgot about the Royal Living, who won the San Juan Capistrano. He was pretty good, but once again, Royal Union was probably the best of the stud horses. He had won the Louisiana Derby. Royal Union. All right. Well, let's look at our. Our winners from out of here, we've had 20 winners from the Thoroughbred Center since the first of the month. That's 20 winners in 12 days of racing. We had a winner a day since last week. Tommy Short won a couple. He took Deliver down to Indiana Downs and won. Marco Castaneda also had two. Marco used to ride races, incidentally. He had Proud Warrior to win down at Mountaineer. Eduardo Caramoy went to Mountaineer with Pontual and won. Tommy Short's other winner at Indiana Downs was Delcy Lou Berger. Then Marco's other winner was also, his were both at Mountaineer, and Me Margarita won that one. Matt Frazier won with another quarter horse down at Indiana Downs. He's doing very well down there. He's won several races, including a stakes race down there with quarter horses. Matt trains at the Thoroughbred Center here, also trains Thoroughbreds. Neighbor of mine, he's over on Brentsville and down in Bourbon County. I can just about see his farm from my backyard there if it wasn't for all the trees. I guess we don't live a mile apart, as the crow flies. Anyway, nice family, the Fraziers. And then yesterday at Beulah Park, Infallible won down at Beulah Park, and Infallible races for John Paul Puchek. I want to thank the folks at the Thoroughbred Center I know Jim, my friend Jim Pendergast is responsible for that nice little program they had for me last night out here at the Thoroughbred Center. They were celebrating my retirement and clocking, I think. But anyway, it was fun, and I do appreciate it. And everybody that showed up, I do appreciate it. I think that music means it's time to spit out the bit here. Jackie will be on with me again next week. Going to go home and celebrate a bunch of birthdays. And I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you, Mary Jane, down at the studio, and Ressie here at the Clocker Stand. And we will talk to you next week.